Hi, fellow book nerds, and welcome to Reading Saved Me, a podcast all about one of the best forms of self-care, books. I'm your host, Elle. I hope you don't mind me calling you book nerds. I use the term nerd in the most loving and caring way. Because being a nerd is a good thing, right? It means we are passionate about something. Nerds are the best types of people, I think. I love it when my fiance calls me a book nerd. I think it's hilarious. Sometimes when I just go on and on about books or different books that I'm reading or books that I want to buy, he'll say, "You're such a book nerd." And that's cute. It always makes me laugh. How are you doing? I am feeling pretty great. My dad and sister recently visited, and we had an amazing time. We watched a documentary, and we went to the Baltimore Aquarium and the Mansion on O Street in DC. And we rented those scooters that you can just rent and rode around the National Mall and saw the monuments. Also love how I started off that we had a great time by saying we watched a documentary, which shows a lot about my personality, that was like the main highlight for me of the weekend, other than of course spending time with them. Since my dad lives in Arizona and I don't see him very often, I decided to go ahead and give him his birthday present and his Father's Day present, which was of course mostly books and a t-shirt that said best dad ever, but the highlight of the present was definitely the books. And next week's episode is going to talk more about some books that I recommend giving as gifts. This will focus on gifts that you can give for, you know, your parents or your siblings or really anyone. But I just thought that would be a nice kind of thing to do, kind of like, you know, here are some gifts that I've given people with books. Here are some books that I've given people. And, you know, this is why I think these are good books to share with people. But for today, we will be talking about the most popular series on BookTok, Bookstagram, BookTube, and BookBook. I'm sorry, that's what I call Facebook. Get it? BookTube, BookBook instead of Facebook. Okay, yeah, I know it's stupid. I will move on from that. The book series is A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. You have most likely heard about this series. It's literally everywhere. But if you haven't, please don't feel bad. I actually didn't start reading it until March of this year. I was so, so late to this. The books have been out for years. In fact, in February, the newest book in the series, A Court of Silver Flames, came out. So I even started reading the series after the newest book just came out. And thank God that book was available for me as soon as I finished the ones that came before it, because I am absolutely in love with Nesta Archeron, and I was so excited to jump straight into her story with A Court of Silver Flames. I can't imagine having read A Court of Wings and Ruin, which is the third book in the series, and then A Court of Frost and Starlight, which is the novella in between the third book and the book that just came out, but then having to wait so long for a book that focused on Nesta and Cassian. It would have just been such a long time, and for people that had to wait that long, I am sorry, that's really impressive. So I guess that's one benefit of me waiting really late to start this series. I will be honest, it was not love at first sight with Nesta. It was more like, wow, this girl is intense. She's a little mean. She's intense. I don't know how I feel about her. But I grew to fucking love her. But more on that in a bit. First, I'm going to provide a spoiler-free overview of the premise of the series and where I was at in my life when I read this series and why. A Court of Thorns and Roses is a fantasy series set in the fairyland of Prithian. Humans and fairies are separated with a wall, a magical wall. And in the first book, titled A Court of Thorns and Roses, Feyre, the main character, is faced with a choice. She can either live above this magical wall with the fairies, with a fairy named Tamlin, or be killed. So those are her options. She can either go live with the fairies above the wall and never see her human family again, or he can kill her, which is just a ridiculous idea. Not saying the book is ridiculous, love the book, but just, oh, here are your choices. All right, wonderful. This was on my Goodreads for a very long time, but it took me until March of this year to read it. There are a few reasons for that, and maybe you can relate to these. First, for a very long time, like most of college and even some high school, I thought that I should be mostly reading nonfiction. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to learn more about topics going on in the world. And I felt like if I wasn't reading something nonfiction, then I was wasting my time. Of course, this is so not true at all. Reading fiction is not a waste of time. Reading is about self-care and experiencing emotions that make you feel alive. Whatever you're reading, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, it's all good. And I talk a lot about this in the very first episode of this podcast of how I had trouble reading when it wasn't something related to advancing my career. And this series is an example of that. Another reason that it took me so long to get to this series is because I thought that ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses, was YA fiction. And let me say that there's, of course, nothing wrong with reading YA. I love YA books. But when I did start reading fiction again, I was often in the mood for something spicy like Outlander. And because I thought ACOTAR was YA, I just figured, oh, I'm probably not going to like it because of it being YA, that it's not going to be like as spicy as Outlander. And I really wanted something spicy. So that's another reason I put it off. Because like when I'm reading YA, it's like, I don't expect YA to be spicy. Like it's YA, so that's fine. But I wanted something spicy. But actually, ACOTAR is more new adult. I think it was marketed as YA, but it's definitely pretty spicy. I wouldn't say it's as spicy as Outlander, but it definitely has those spicy scenes. Another reason it took me so long to get to this series was because the premise of the first book did not really excite me. It was described as a Beauty and the Beast retelling, and I just felt like I couldn't get excited about that. Because I have a confession, Beauty and the Beast is one of my least favorite Disney movies. First of all, Belle is a bit of a snob, acting like she's better than everyone because she reads books. You know, as someone who reads books, maybe I am better than everyone. No, I'm totally joking, obviously. But like Belle's just whole attitude in Beauty and the Beast is very, oh, I'm so much better than everyone because I can read. And she's just very insulting to everyone, to the village. So yeah. Also, I'm just now realizing it's funny that Feyre, the main character in ACOTAR, is supposed to be kind of like Belle, but Feyre can't read. Interesting parallel there. Another reason I hated Beauty and the Beast and thought I would be annoyed with ACOTAR is the Beast fucking kidnaps Belle. He kidnaps her. And then she falls in love with him. So basically this movie is teaching young kids, hey, it's okay if someone kidnaps you because you might fall in love with them. And basically Belle is there to like help break the curse upon these people. And that's very similar to what's going on in the first ACOTAR book. And just the whole message of like, it's okay to kidnap someone because then they can help you break your curse. It's like, no, it's still not okay. Now, please do not mistake this as hate for Feyre. I love her. She is strong. She is funny. She is kind. She's amazing. I really like her. In fact, if you're looking for a book series full of badass female characters, I think that the ACOTAR series is perfect for you. But let me tell you, you kind of have to push your way through the first book. I actually think of the first book as a prequel to the series in general. So if you're considering reading the series, but you don't love the first book, I highly, highly encourage you to read the second book. Many people, myself included, find that the series goes from average to amazing starting in book two. I found the first book to be interesting, but I did wonder sometimes, why is there so much hype surrounding this book? Like, why is it so popular? Like, it's good, but it's kind of slow. I don't know. But then I read the second book and I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. I understand why so many people love this series. I understand why there are so many TikToks about it and why there's such a huge fandom surrounding it. And it was so funny, right after I finished the first three books in the series, there was a Hulu adaptation of the books that was announced. I am so excited for this. I cannot wait to watch it on Hulu. So as I mentioned, ACOTAR starts off with Feyre having to decide whether she will die or go live above the wall with the fairies because she killed the friend of Tamlin. And this friend turned out to be a fairy. And apparently it is illegal to kill a fairy. And the repercussion for that is you either die or go live above the wall. And Tamlin, his friend, is not too happy about it. And first of all, you might be wondering, why did Feyre kill a wolf that turned out to be a fairy? Well, she was hunting to provide for her family. They used to be really rich, and then her dad lost a whole bunch of money, and so now they live in a really small cabin, and they're super poor. And Feyre is the one who hunts and provides food for her family. Now, a lot of people like to hate on Feyre's sisters for not helping her hunt. But I have to be honest, whose fault really is it? Like, these young girls who grew up in luxury and they're kind of scared of the woods, like, they have no idea what they're doing. And I know Feyre stepped up, but you have to understand, her sisters are going through their own stuff too. I kind of put the blame more on the father, who is the reason they are all starving in the first place and does nothing to step up and help his friend. So she kills a wolf and skins it. And then his friend comes along because the wolf was actually a fairy and he drags her to the fairylands as punishment. And the way that he storms into their cabin, it's not romantic. It's upsetting. So of course, thank goodness the family has Feyre to hunt for them. But it's ridiculous to me that the father didn't step in to help the family more. I know he was injured at first, but he could have done something once he recovered. I do give Feyre tons of credit for stepping up to take care of her family. It's amazing, and she carries so much. But let's remember that Elaine and Nesta were going through their own issues, and their father really should have done more to help Feyre and to help provide for his daughters. So Feyre's hunting in the woods when along comes a deer and then a wolf, and she kills it so that he doesn't eat the deer so that she can feed her family. But it's okay. As I mentioned before, the series gets better. I loved it because in March, I was just feeling really tired with everything going on. It had been a year of the COVID-19 pandemic, working from home and being very isolated. And I desperately needed a fun escape. And I also really wanted a story about females being totally awesome. I mean, I always want that, but I really wanted it in March. And to me, that is what is so great about ACOTAR. Strong, badass female characters. You got Feyre, a huntress. You've got Nesta, who doesn't take shit from anyone and doesn't try to be someone else. And you have Elaine, kind and gentle. I have a few pet peeves with this book series. You know, it is a fantasy romance book, and so there are a lot of sex scenes, which I enjoy. But the number of times I heard the phrase, apex of my thighs, like, I don't know about you, but I have never once use that term in my life, like in terms of like having sex. Like, I never think in my head, like, they are now touching the apex of my thighs. It's just, you know, something that you often see in romance books, and it's hilarious. Also, in this book, mate is used a lot. That was fun. And also, Sarah J. Maas loves to use, I gave him a vulgar gesture. It's just funny. I'm not hating on her or anything, but I just noticed that those are things that definitely come up a lot in this book that I just thought were funny. And a bit of my pet peeves, like, you know, and we all have them, so it's okay. Also, the mention of sex as coming home. I don't know, that just creeps me out so much. And another thing that I don't like is people constantly saying you're mine to their love interests. Like, I get it. It's like, oh, you're mine, but I just the territorialness that comes with that, it just kind of is a bit of a pet peeve of mine. But overall, what a great adventure. And several times I would be reading this and then just like throw the book down when something amazing happened. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening, my heart. So, if you want a reaction like that, definitely would suggest reading this. To be honest, the males in this book, some good ones, but overall, with the male characters, I don't know. I'm less than impressed. Don't get me wrong, they all seem super hot, but in terms of character, some I love, some I'm not so crazy about. And I will tell you why after this break, which by the way will include spoilers for the ACOTAR series. Welcome back. So, as I mentioned, this point forward will have spoilers for the entirety of the ACOTAR series for all of the books that have been published so far. So, if you don't want to hear spoilers, please go read the books and come back when you're done. And I hope you enjoy reading them. So, okay. All right. So, I mentioned before that I wasn't the biggest fan of some of the guys in this book, AKA some of the main love interests. The first one is pretty obvious if you read the books. Tamlin is horrible. And in my opinion, does not really deserve a redemption arc. Not saying like that he doesn't deserve to like become better and like, I don't know, heal and atone for all the horrible things that he's done, but I really don't think we need him to be much of a heavy focus in any of the books coming forward. Like he has done some messed up things, and I'm just not in the mood for that. I don't really want to see him anymore. Like, can he just like go off to one of the other continents and just live there and we never hear from him again? Okay, that is what I want. One thing that really bothers me about Tamlin and bothers a lot of people, his actions under the mountain were very horrible. Feyre thinks that he's under some sort of spell because he's not reacting to her. He's just sitting there. And I thought he was too. Like, I was like, what else could explain his passive behavior? I get it that he doesn't want to alert Amarantha to like the fact that he feels for Feyre, but he literally just is so impassive. He does nothing to try to help her. He's a bit of a coward. And Tamlin is super jealous and overall the definition of toxic masculinity. He feels threatened by Lucien when Feyre first comes to the manor. And honestly, I think I most definitely would have fallen for Lucien if I were Feyre, as opposed to Tamlin and his awkward compliments. And also under the mountain, the one chance that Tamlin might have to be able to help Feyre escape, or at least just talk with her. He just tries to have sex with her. Ugh. Tamlin, ugh. So, again, when I read the first book in the series, I was so confused. I was like, why are all these people on TikTok saying this book is so spicy? And then we get to book two, and I could kind of see it between Feyre and her new love interest, Rhysand. Rhysand. If I say that wrong, I'm sorry. First, I thought it was Rhysand, and then in the first audiobook, they pronounce it Rhysand, and then it kind of turns into Rhysand. So it's just, if you listen to the audiobooks, there's just so many different pronunciations for things, and they change narrators, I think, in starting with the third book. So it's just like you get so many different pronunciations for stuff. But the real spice, in my opinion, comes in a court of silver flames with Nesta and Cassian, aka my two favorites, especially Nesta. But before we get to that, let's talk about Rhysand and why I don't like him anymore. I'm sorry, it's like I loved him at first. So after Tamlin locks Feyre in his manor and is just like super controlling of her, and then Rhys comes along and she goes to live with Rhys and she begins to fall in love with him and being open with her. And just, oh my gosh, it's always about choice with him. He's so amazing. That is the impression that I got. And then in A Court of Silver Flames, he withholds information to his wife, to his mate, to his high lady about her pregnancy. And that is not okay, not okay at all. I was so much about Rhys, loved him until I kind of saw him from Nesta's point of view. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I see how that comes across. It does not come across great. Nesta, who is healing from her trauma and is constantly ordered around by Rhys and Feyre and the rest of the inner circle. I'm sorry, but the inner circle reminds me a bit of like the popular kids in high school who judged everyone else and thought they could do whatever they wanted, but would judge other people for doing whatever they wanted. Like it was like they were above rules, above any judgment, but they could judge other people. I am so glad that Nesta found her own group with the Valkyries. Like, not everyone wants to join your circle, Reese, okay? I would much rather be a Valkyrie than in the inner circle. Before I talk about my love of Nesta more, I want to say one thing. Liking Nesta does not mean that I hate Feyre. I love Feyre. I really do. I just prefer Nesta more in terms of her character development, in terms of her personality, but I love Feyre. She's great. I don't think we need to pit them against each other at all. I'm just explaining why I prefer, not prefer Nesta, I shouldn't say prefer, but like just like why she's more of my favorite character. So all that to say that I love Feyre, I really do. But can we just please admit that Feyre is nosy? Like, Feyre is totally your friend who is just constantly getting into your business, into other people's business. Okay, so I think the best example of Feyre being incredibly nosy is in A Court of Wings and Ruin. So Mor is mad at Feyre because Feyre lied to her and went to go see the Suriel while the battle was still going on. And Mor is like, "You lied to me. Like, you didn't tell me where you were going. You lied." And Feyre is like, "Hey, you want to talk about lying? Why haven't you made a move on Azrael?" And I'm reading this like, Feyre, that is none of your damn business. And also, it has nothing to do with the situation. Like, Feyre, like, thinks that, like, she has a right to know about her friend's love lives and why they haven't made a move on someone. It's like, that's none of your business. And then Mor comes out as bisexual and Feyre's like, "Oh, I can't wait to play matchmaker." It's like, okay, Feyre, if Mor wants you to play matchmaker, she will ask. You know, it's just funny. And I'm not trying to criticize Feyre, but just like, this is why I think that she is a bit nosy. And maybe me, I'm very introverted. And so when there are people that kind of naturally act like that, it kind of gets me, it makes me feel like a little overwhelmed. So that's just me. Another thing with Feyre that I don't love is that she is a bit harsh with Nesta sometimes. And I understand why. Nesta can be mean, but I don't love how Nesta is treated. I do not enjoy Rhys and Feyre's holier-than-thou attitude. So when Feyre comes back from the Spring Court, she tells Nesta, "At least immortality hasn't changed you." Poor Nesta. She has, shortly before this happened, was turned fey against her will, dragged into the cauldron, and it's just trying to read her smut, read her romance books, and then all these people come in and bother her and are like, "Why aren't you training? What are you doing?" And Cassian's like, "This is all she's been doing." It's like, Cassian, what else do you want her to do? Let her recover. Like, let Nesta recover. And think about with Feyre, she had her own trauma to deal with, and imagine if they had treated Feyre this way. They're just so much harder on Nesta, I think. Because here's the thing with trauma, from my experience. I think that a lot of times you can either go about, people either go about it like Feyre, where it really impacts you and you fight through and you distract yourself. Like with Feyre, she started training and working with Reese and had like a very clear mission. Not that she hid how she was feeling, but it didn't really, like, it didn't make her like mean. Like, she didn't go about it, handle her trauma by just like putting up a wall and being like really cold and kind of mean. And that's kind of like how Nesta has dealt with it. And I'm thinking, honestly, here's the thing. Nesta like does not pretend to be happy. She doesn't pretend to be, oh, everything's fine. Like, she's honest. And I think that I really admire that because I've gone through a lot of stuff in my life and I've often thought, okay, I just need to smile and suck it up and act super nice so that no one knows that anything's wrong. But it's like, no, like, that's not honest. And so I appreciate Nesta for just being how she is. So I hope that I have some fellow Taylor Swift fans listening today. And if you are a Taylor Swift fan, you probably know the song Mad Woman, which is from her album Folklore. Amazing. If you haven't heard it, pause this for a second. Go listen to Mad Woman by Taylor Swift. Basically, that song to me completely describes how Nesta is. Like, I won't sing the song, obviously, but basically the chorus goes like, no one likes a mad woman. You made her like that. Being brought up a certain way and the things that have happened to her that make her a bit cold and a bit steely, and, you know, that's okay. Also, when they make the ACOTAR TV series and we get to the season focusing on Nesta, I think that Mad Woman by Taylor Swift should be the theme song. Hey, people making the ACOTAR series, if you happen to be listening, I would love to be a consultant for song choices. Thank you. So Nesta is angry and mad in a world where female anger is frowned upon. People don't like mad women. People don't like it when women are mad. But when men are mad, in terms of like expressing their anger, it's usually more accepted than it is for women. Like, think about with female athletes, if they express their anger, they are frowned upon. But with men, it's like, oh, that's just natural. I encourage you to read a book called Good and Mad by Rebecca Traister, which talks about how women's anger can be very powerful, but how society frowns upon it and how we can kind of overcome that. It's really, really a very interesting book. It just reminds me of Nesta so much. So I mentioned before that when I first met Nesta, from Feyre's point of view, I wasn't that crazy about her. She seemed cold, mean, distant, but Nesta has every right to be that way. And hearing her point of view in A Court of Silver Flames made me understand her, made me feel for her. Nesta is angry and mad. And after reading the chapter with the Inner Circle's intervention at the beginning of A Court of Silver Flames, I was fucking mad too. I'm not saying Nesta's behavior was the healthiest behavior in the world. We all have our coping skills to get us through things. Also, Nesta is now immortal. Like, a year of bad behavior like this is fine. I just don't understand how the Inner Circle is like, we have to fix her now, right now, or she'll be gone forever. It's like, no, give her time. I know Pharaoh is just trying to help, but I think that the Inner Circle just went about it the wrong way. And I can see how Nesta would feel like she was being attacked. So during the intervention, Cassian wonders, did Nesta understand that this meeting wasn't to condemn her, but instead came from a place of concern? Her simmering stare told him she considered this purely an attack. Dude, okay, come on, Cassian. You moved her stuff out of her apartment without her permission, and now everyone is going around telling her how wrong her behavior is, slut-shaming her, everything, and telling her, you're done with that, you're done. You have two choices. You can either train with Cassian and work in the library, or we're dumping you off in the human lands. They are so harsh with her. And Reese is so bossy and uses his mind powers to make her sit down. Ugh, I was fuming along with Nesta. The Inner Circle is now all of a sudden deciding where Nesta is going to live, what she's going to do with her days. And Amran's like, oh, you're not a prisoner, but you'll be living at the House of Wind, and no one will be able to winnow or fly you down to the city. You're free to leave whenever you want, but only if you can brave the 10,000 steps down from the house, which are like super steep and just like circle around and just really hard to get down. Like there's no elevator. It's not just a matter of getting on the elevator. What the fuck? Like, you would think that if anyone would understand what it's like to be kept prisoner in a house, it would be Feyre. You would think she would be against this plan, but nope, she goes for it. Nesta is mad. It's clear that she's turning to drinking and sex to deal with her trauma, and all of us have our own way of dealing with things. Also, Feyre seems to be really concerned with how Nesta's behavior reflects upon Feyre and the rest of the court. And that's just frustrating. I love Nesta's response to Feyre. She says, I am not a thing to be controlled by you. Again, you think Feyre would understand. Nesta says she won't go to train with Cassian, and Feyre says, you're going, even if you have to be tied up and hauled there. Feyre, like, how would you like it if someone treated you like this after all of your trauma? It's just so frustrating. It's like, okay, if the inner circle doesn't like how you're dealing with your trauma, then they have a right to come in and stage an intervention and tell you how to live your life. No, they don't have a right to do that. And I know what you might say, oh, but they were paying for her activities. Okay, yeah, but they should have been a little bit more understanding of Nesta. They could have gone about this differently. And it's like, oh, well, she's cold and mean, so we have to be abrupt with her. It's like, no, I really think that it could have been handled so much differently. I do not blame Nesta for not wanting to go train in the Illyrian war camp. So when she first goes to the Illyrian war camp in A Court of Wings and Ruin, and Devlin asks her if she was a witch, and Nesta's reaction shows why I love her so much. She just says, yes. And then when she returns in A Court of Silver Flames, he asks Cassian, what's her business here? And she says, witchcraft. Yes, girl, I love it. But thinking about Nesta's journey in A Court of Silver Flames, oh, it makes me cry. I cried when I first read this because I'm so happy for her. I am so happy that she finds her purpose. She finds her strength. She meets all these amazing people. It becomes so close with Gwyn and Emery, and they bond, and oh my gosh, like, and their sleepover. I love it. I love it so much. And Nesta really faces so much in this book and becomes even more badass and just shows that she is strong and she's not, you know, what everyone thinks she is. She's not just mean. And I really like Cassian. I think that they are really great together. And I think the sex scenes are really good. They're very spicy, I would say. And I think that the series is kind of funny with the whole like wingspan argument. Basically, I think it's Moore who says in one of the earlier books, oh, you know, you can tell the length of a Illyrian's, I don't know what hell else to say it, the length of their dick. I'm just gonna try to use like an innuendo for it, but I'm like, no, let's just be straightforward. So basically she's saying that you can discover how big an Illyrian's dick is based on their wingspan, which is just funny. And I guess people say that Azrael has the biggest wingspan, but Cassian seems to be very well endowed as well. So, I like Cassian. I like Lucien. I don't like Tamlin, obviously. Azrael, okay, I like Azrael a lot. I think he's actually one of my favorites in terms of, like, if I had to pick, like, a mate. I would probably pick him. But I will say that I don't love how people are all about Azrael, like, oh, he's so quiet and mysterious. But then they say that Elaine has no personality because she's quiet. And I'm just like, that is so just sexist. It's sexist. And I'm not like Oh, I love Elaine so much. Like I don't know her very well. So I think if we get a book from her point of view, that I'm sure that I will like her. I've also seen theories that Elaine is evil or Elaine is like Tamlin's mate, which is just really funny. Hey, and actually that would really make sense because Elaine loves gardening and spring court, like spring gardening. I don't know. I guess that would work out. I don't know. I guess I'm not against them getting together. I know I said that I hated Tamlin, but maybe if he really has a major redemption arc, and I said I was against that too. I'm just changing my mind here. I'm against a Tamlin redemption arc unless somehow it involves him and Elaine getting together. Because here's the thing, I know that Elaine and Lucien are mates, but I actually think Lucien and Vasa seem to be doing, and Jurian, like, are they having like some sort of like threesome thing? Like maybe they're all meant to be together. That's great. And then some people say Azriel and Elaine, but then I've heard some people say Azriel and Gwyn. So I don't know. I mean, there's so many different combinations, obviously. I still need to take the quiz that's like, who's your ACOTAR mate? I haven't taken that yet. Other than, I don't know, I have no excuse, I guess, other than I'm just lazy. And I'm just like, I don't really want to know. I kind of just want to pick my own. I would say that my mate would be Nesta, but I don't think that Nesta and I would work romantically. So, like, I am super sensitive. And I know that I'm saying, Nesta, like, Nesta's not just mean, but like she can say mean things and like she has a reason for them. But like I feel like Nesta's like personality wouldn't work well romantically for me. Like I feel like we could be friends, but romantically, I don't know. I even like if she's just like jokingly teasing me, like I feel like I would be like, you're hurting my feelings. So I guess I like Nesta so much because I want to be more like her. I want to be more tough and, like less like of a people pleaser. I'm such a people pleaser sometimes, and I'm trying to move past that. And Nesta is not a people pleaser. Like I feel like if I were in Nesta's position and everyone was like, oh, like you need to be involved with the inner circle and you need to do this, I'd be like, okay, if it makes you happy. So I just love Nesta for like just doing her own thing. And like it's like she doesn't want to train at Windhaven. And like for me, like I feel like I would have probably just been like, fine, I'll do it. But instead it's like, oh no, she's just more comfortable somewhere else. Like she sticks up for herself. And I love that so much. So again, Rhys in this book, like Rhys is so mad when Nesta tells Feyre about the dangers with her pregnancy. And I get that people say, Nesta said it because she was mad and trying to hurt Feyre, but she did the right thing by telling Feyre. And she ends up saving all of them, which is amazing that she's able to do that. But I just don't like love Rhys's general attitude in this book. I honestly think he's becoming a lot like Tamlin. Please don't be so mad at me for saying that. And I'm totally open to hearing like other people's views on this, but I just kind of see those signs of him becoming more like Tamlin in terms of being so controlling. So let's hope that in future books that kind of gets resolved and he maybe, I get it, like his mate was pregnant, it was just all really scary. I'm hoping they can move past this together. So I love Nesta. I don't think she would be my mate, but I could totally see us being friends. And she's amazing. And I just love her energy so much. So those were my thoughts on A Court of Thorns and Roses and why I love Nesta so much. I really hope you enjoyed listening. I wanted to let you know that you can follow me on Instagram at Reading Saved Me Podcast for more about books and self-care and mental health. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great day and that you have time to read this week. Take care.